Hi, and welcome to the Triathlon Age Group Journey podcast. My name is Matt Sommer, and with me today are my co-hosts, Jade Kinney and Jillian Carlson. We are all just average age group triathletes just trying to do the best to balance life, work, and training. Some days we hit it, some days we don't, but every day we come to bat, and that's the most important thing. Joining us today for episode 25 is Brandy Ramirez. Brandy is the founder of She Strong Foundation, which is a foundation for breast cancer survivors looking to get into the sport of triathlon. Brandy herself is a breast cancer survivor, as well as an Ironman University coach, a certified Pilates instructor, a certified yoga instructor, and a USAT race director. So I can't wait to hear a little bit about Brandy's journey into triathlon and the development of her foundation. So how's everybody doing today?
Oh man, what a week. It's been a busy weekend. Didn't sleep much, in part from volleyball all weekend, trying to squeeze every last minute for training. And then this PTO open happened to be out in Ibiza, and I just happened to wake up in the middle of the night at like 1 o'clock, and it happened to be on my phone, and I happened to have to watch most of the men's race and the start of the women's before I fell back asleep. And I did learn if you hit pause, it actually holds your spot in the queue on the show. So as long as you don't check social when you wake up, when you actually wake up for real, you can just hit play and it doesn't, like, it still feels like it's live and they're still racing. So I was able to finish watching at more normal hour time frame, actually on the drive down to Centralia, Washington for volleyball tournament. But that was something I learned, and that was actually quite exciting. So I didn't actually have to watch the whole men's race in the middle of the night. I could have slept more, but anyhow, it was a fun weekend. Volleyball girls played great. And that's about it. I don't know, guys, it's just crazy at work and preparing for races. I've got my first Olympic coming up. I know, Jay, you already did one, but I've ridden outside once. So yeah, it's a little bit nerve-wracking to think about, but it's a rust buster, right?
Yeah. I think they need a renamed month of May Mayhem. It's just crazy. Just between balancing everything going on with school. I have a high school senior getting ready to graduate, club soccer coming to an end, spring just getting full throttle. I feel like everything's just kicking off around there and just training. I had a busy weekend myself. Got Triple T coming up in 2 weeks. So I had a nice little, I say little, race rehearsal weekend. You know, race rehearsals are usually one day, but when it's a 3-day event, race rehearsal turns into 3 days. So I kind of did a race rehearsal Thursday, Friday, Saturday for Triple T, and very successful, felt great, a lot of confidence. I think I nailed nutrition, I nailed pacing. So super excited for the race. I'm even more so looking forward to the upcoming weekend. I'm making the trip out to Seattle to see Jillian to celebrate Mother's Day and another special day in her life, her birthday. So excited to be out there to celebrate both of those with her the upcoming week. So lots of travel coming up, but just getting it all done. And between all that, working full time and coaching and trying to balance everything. So how about you, Jay?
Well, judging on how challenging it's been to figure out a time for us to all get together and record, we're all extremely busy. And Jillian, my first ride outside was my Rust Buster race. So you're not alone.
Good.
I had my second outdoor ride on Sunday, and that was a lot of fun to finally get outdoors and ride my normal route. But yeah, it is crazy busy. Just like you said, Matt, school, sports, coaching softball, and driving the boy around for club soccer and squeezing everything in and going to the next thing immediately after. Exciting times in the Kune household for sure.
Nice. Well, I've got a great quote of the week if you guys are ready for it. It's one of my favorites. It's all about you being yourself. The quote I went with this week is, "The sky is not my limit. I am." 100% ownership. You're limited to what you personally believe you're capable of. There are no limits. You create them yourself. Everything else is possible. The word impossible says it. I'm possible. This one's all about creating limits and breaking limits, not setting limits. So what do you guys think?
I think this is a great quote to go back and think about how your limit has changed through your triathlon time frame, you know, from the first sprint and thinking about how challenging that was and getting through the training and finishing that race and then working your way up maybe to one day full Ironman. And all of a sudden when you are the governor of what your limit is,
yeah,
and you look back and realize how far you've come, I think that's what's awesome about this sport, because your limits when you complete an Ironman all of a sudden seem a lot easier in life too, because you have challenged yourself. I talk to my kids about the value of doing hard things, and that's not a phrase that I've coined. I think David Goggins might be one of those out there that's been saying it the most, but it is so important to do those hard things to keep expanding your limit. And that's where the growth, we've talked about maturity in the past. This has a piece of that in it here. So I like this one. This is a really good one.
Well, good. Jillian, what do you think?
I am torn on this one. I'm not going to lie. I think that the reality is, though, there are some limits, and there's limits depending on your perspective of time frame. Like, no matter how much you can think or want that I'm going to go to the Olympics next year, but the reality is my body could not physically adapt to what's necessary to get me on a start line at the Olympics in 2024. No matter.
Jillian, I'm shocked because I know one of your favorite triathletes, his two words, you have his shirt. What are they?
Yes. And you know, it's ironic. So Lionel Sanders, I was actually going to bring this in. Mm-hmm. So I have a shirt. It says no limits. But where I'm going with this, I think that applies when you don't try to force a timeline.
And you're also bringing reality into the conversation, is that right. There's genetics, there's environment,
there's a lot that goes into it.
I couldn't go there without bringing up Lionel because he's your guy. And that's just one of those where it's like, I get it.
I enjoy Lionel's journey. I enjoy his content. And I think he has come a long way in the last few years with how he approaches sport and everything else. It's been really good. And I think in one of his recent podcasts, he has actually acknowledged that you do have physiological limits.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. So, but anyhow, but I think that it's really important that you have a mindset of thinking that there is no limit so that you don't end up indirectly inhibiting what your true limits could be.
Absolutely.
So I think that's, when I think of that quote, I think reality, yeah, you technically do have limits. Again, depending on the timeline and the horizon that you try to set, you can be unrealistic for what's truly legit possible. But you want to be careful that you respect physiological limits so that you can have the growth that you need and you don't just go out and injure yourself because you're so determined to hit the Olympic start lane next year. I'm going to go out and go try and run 540s as my warm up, right? So like that would have me injured on the sideline. So you have to be smart about it. But I think that it's also important, again, just to be careful of trying to hit certain preconceived timelines for what you think you can achieve and when you think you can achieve it. Have goals, but like I've said in another podcast, I think I always like to caveat things or add the suffix of yet, right? I'm not there yet, or I haven't done yet. It allows for continued growth and continuing to move along that timeline and not giving up.
Cool. Brandy, what do you think about that one? The sky is not my limit. I am.
So I can totally understand where Jillian's coming from. For me, I'm a very positive forward thinker. And so I never want to give myself any kind of limitation. And if I do, it's only so that I could break those limits. Yeah, because I'm going to keep reaching for the sky and beyond. But yes, I totally agree with Jillian. Like, there are some physicalities to that. For some people, it's financial. You know, there's different. You really have to determine what you're speaking about when you say that. Like, is it mentally, emotionally, physically, financially? You know, there are different caveats that can take part in that. But for me as a person, I make my own limits. And I think I only make those limits so that I can break them and I can push past them.
Love it. You know, it's not a podcast unless I throw a second quote out there, but no. It just goes, I haven't done it in a while. Another one, but running water never freezes. You just got to keep moving.
At least it's one you've used before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, I think we've bantered enough, but I'm excited to jump right into this. As I mentioned earlier, with us today is Brandi Ramirez. Brandi is a friend of mine. She is a TriDot master coach as well. And she is also a TriDot pool instructor. She is an Ironman University coach. She is a USAT race director. She is a certified Pilates reformer instructor. She is a yoga instructor. And she is the founder of her own nonprofit called She Strong, which its purpose is to help get women back into training, specifically triathlon, after going through breast cancer. So, Brandi, we're excited to have you here, excited to hear about your journey into the sport, and can't wait to hear a little bit more about you. So, welcome.
Thank you. And thank you so much for that introduction. And just for clarification, it's not just breast cancer. It's any woman who's faced any cancer. Mine specifically was breast cancer.
Okay. That's important. Thank you. So, Brandi, obviously you've dealt with some adversity in your life. Can you go back and just tell us a little bit about your experience in sport and how this all transpired and the journey and path along there?
Yeah. So, in 2017, I kind of knew something was going on with my body. I do have a degree in science and health, so I know a little bit about a little bit. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. I don't know everything, but I knew something was going on within me. I knew I was a little more tired than usual. I went to my primary. I wanted a full CBC. We did that, and some of my markers were completely off, but none of my white blood cells were elevated, so there was no real detection that something was going on. We just kind of figured, you know, you're just going through stuff. I was supposed to race Boulder in August. And so this was like July. So I was like, maybe I'm just training too much. I didn't race that year because my ex-husband's father passed away. And so we footed the bill for his funeral. His father died of cancer. His mother died of cancer. So in August, my then husband was going through this whole, I'm going to get cancer. I'm going to get sick. I'm going to die of cancer, because both of his parents had passed away from it. Mm. So 2 days after I turned 42, I just went in for my annual OBGYN visit, right? I had been running a low-grade fever that I just treated asymptomatically. That means if I had a fever, I would take some aspirin. If I felt nauseous, you know, I was just treating whatever little telltale signs I had. That's all that I was treating at the time. So these fevers would come and go, and I just took Tylenol. It would break and feel okay, whatever. So I go in for my annual checkup, and my doctor's like, hey, you're running a low-grade fever. And I explain what had been happening and how I've been treating it. So as she starts the breast exam, she's like, have you been doing your own physical exams? I'm like, no, I just turned 42. Like, that's a little young, you know? And instantly she touched something on my breast, and she was like, can you feel that? And I'm like, I can now. And so things got a little bit quiet. And I was just at that moment, everything that kind of had been happening for that month started going back through my head. I was like, okay. Like, I had gone for a run and I had bought one of those arm things that held your phone, right? And so when I went for that run, my right hand swelled. Like, it was dramatically bigger than my left hand. And at the time I thought, okay, I must have just been wearing it too tight on my arm, something like that. Took it off, got home, ignored it. You know, I try not to be a lot of drama. A couple of days later, I went for another run, and the same thing. My right hand was swelling, like, visibly. I remember walking into the house and telling my ex, like, look at my hands. Had it been my left hand, I probably would have been a little more concerned, thinking I was having a stroke or something along those lines. But it was my right hand. I just kind of let it go. Long story short, we're in a very small town here. So I go in for, you know, my mammogram, and I'm like, in my head, I already know what my body's been trying to tell me for a couple months. That comes back. We have to do it again. Okay. Then I have to go in for a biopsy. And I'm just kind of like, I'm just waiting for the official news, right? For me, I knew what it was. So I went home and I told my husband at the time, I said, you know what? I'm pretty sure I have breast cancer, which at the time he did not want to hear. Right. He was just, cancer was a whole thing. And for my kids too, I have four biological children. My oldest at the time was 14. She was a freshman in high school. No, I'm wrong. My second one was a freshman in high school. My oldest was going into her senior year, so she was 16. Yeah, when we got the diagnosis that, yes, it was cancer, you know, I had to sit everybody down. And I'm healthy and active. My ex is healthy and active. My kids were competitive gymnasts, basketball, varsity cheer, varsity volleyball, swim team, like you name it. They were all over the spectrum. My youngest was 2.5 at the time.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
So I go to meet my oncologist and the lump in my breast was only 1.02. Very, very small. Right. So my doctor's just like, this is probably going to be something small. We can just go in there. We could scoop it out. Like everything's going to be okay. I'm like, okay. For me, I knew it wasn't just that. So they send me for my PET scan, right? Which is a whole body scan of cancer. And they detected a 3.23 tumor in my lymph nodes on my right arm.
Oh, wow.
And so I went from a stage 1 to a stage 3 very quickly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, this is part I usually get emotional. For me, it's okay. For me, I knew I wanted to be aggressive. I'm not a sit back, take it easy kind of person. That's not who I am. I'm not wired that way. So I instantly told my oncologist, I was like, I want aggressive chemo. I want a bilateral mastectomy. Like my breast and my hair don't make me the woman I am. I'm only 42. I don't want to have to battle this again in 5 or 10 years down the road. I was like, we're going to hit this as hard as we can. I'm young, I'm strong, and then I'll recover. And basically that's what we did. I remember sitting in his office that day and he was like, well, when do you want to start? And I was like, well, you know, now's as good a time as any. And so we walked over to a treatment and like quite literally, I was terrified, but I had 4 kids and I couldn't go home and show them that part, right? Like here was their mom. I was always at every single event. I did everything with my kids. My kids are my whole life and I could not scare them anymore. So at home, I was just smiles. I remember getting my first bout of chemo. It was the Red Devil and another one because we hit it very aggressively. And my son had just got the starting position as point guard in his basketball team in junior high in the 8th grade. Hmm. Finished my cancer treatment at 3:00. I was at his school at 4 to watch his game.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's incredible.
I just remember I put on some extra weight. I knew that chemo could make you emaciated, right? I didn't want to be sick and throw up and get so down in my weight that that became an issue, right? That I started starving myself or my body started just deteriorating from lack of good nutrition. And when I started my treatment, for me, it was like training for an Ironman. I remember I was just going to cut out everything that was not good in my body. I was not going to have caffeine. I was going to lean proteins. I was going to move as much as I could possibly move. And I did all of that through everything. So I had 6 months of aggressive chemotherapy. I had an 11-hour surgery that was a bilateral mastectomy. They threw me into menopause because my cancer is estrogen and progesterone positive. So I have to take medication every single night. So my body does not produce either one of those. So like I'm running on 0 hormones in my life. Wow. And then I did 30 bouts of radiation. Towards the end of my radiation, my energy levels started coming up. And so I was like, hey, I'm an Ironman, you know? This was my off season. That's the kind of thing that I told myself. And I was like, I'm just going to go for a 1 mile run. Nothing crazy, nothing over the top. You know, I was like, I'm just going to go out, get the body moving, kind of see how I feel. And it was disastrous. Like, I mean, I laughed just because it was like so hideous at the time. I remember I came back, took a shower, did this huge dramatic cry. Like, you know, I could have won an Emmy. It was just top notch crying in the shower that day. And then it kind of hit me. I was like, okay, I'm going to start at the bottom. I know how to build from nothing, build up my endurance, build up my tolerance, build up my strength and get back. And that's kind of when She Strong was developed. Because in my mind, I thought, how many other women have done exactly what I just did? How many other women fought cancer, beat it, gave everything, and then decided, I feel better. I'm stronger. I want to be better and stronger than I was prior to my cancer. How many of them went and trained? whatever level of fitness that was, and how many of them ethically failed like I did, but how many of them don't know the things that I know. And that was when I created She Strong. And it's just, it started as a private Facebook group just for women to build each other up, to be there, to be like, hey, I've done it. You could do it too. You don't have to be your cancer diagnosis. You can be so much more. And it kind of just grew on its own, just women telling other women and bringing other women in and out. And we're up to like almost 4,000 women in there, like worldwide. And we just lift and motivate each other. And that's pretty much my story.
Wow.
You just demonstrated Matt's quote. I mean, it's a real life example of how we set the bar and you knew to adjust. You're probably shooting higher than you ever have now, I imagine.
Yeah. For the first time in my life, I want championships. I've never wanted to race and qualify for championships. But when Ironman said it was going to be in France, I was like, yes, please. How do I get there? Sign me up for that.
That's awesome.
I want to hear a little bit more about how you've adapted since then, too. But I'm also really curious, just a little bit more background, you know, taking us way back, you know, where were you at? How did your tri journey just as a whole start? And then kind of where were you at when you found this? Like, had you been doing tri for 10 years? Had you just started, et cetera?
So in 2008, my youngest at the time was my son. So I only had three kids. A friend of mine was training. You know, I would see her doing these different things. And so I asked her one day, I was like, hey, like, what are you training for? And she told me she was training for Silverman in Henderson, which is a full Ironman. And so she tells me, you know, oh, it's a 2.4 mile swim. And blah. I was like, I remember looking at her and I was like, and you do this in one day? And she was like, yeah, this is not a 3-day event. And I was like, are you kidding me? You're running a full marathon, like at the end. What are you talking about? It should be a 3-day event. And then she told me about the half distance. And I was like, okay. So at that time in my head, I thought I was a badass. And I was like, okay, so let me see if this breaks me. Let me see if I can man up to this and race these races. So I started my training. I did a sprint and an Olympic in 2008 and 2009. And then I was signed up so many different times to do a half Ironman. Yes, so many different times that at one point in time, I actually walked away. Every single time I would get injured. I wound up racing a 70.3 at Super Seal in Coronado, which was not owned by Ironman at the time. It is now. But that was a race that I decided only because I got injured from my other Ironman races. And back then, when you didn't race, you lost your money, right? There was no deferral system. So I could tell you I paid for Oceanside 3 different times.
Oh, wow.
And did not race.
Yeah.
And so after I raced Super Seal and I got injured again, I literally walked away from the sport. I was just like, okay, God's telling me this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. Like every single time, like I remember I was 8 weeks out from Oceanside and 8 days. I'm sorry. 8 days out from Oceanside, went for a trail run, which is not my strongest. I did not fall, but I twisted my ankle like 2-3 times. You know, you're running and you just do the little like, whoa, like
did that. Yep.
And I stopped running. It turned out that I had a transverse fracture of the left fibula,
which
I ignored for 3 days. I was like, no, it's going to get better. Wow. It is going to get better. After that, I walked away from the sport. I was just like, that's it. I'm done. I had another kid. I had my fourth child, like walked away from the sport. Mm. And then of course, like it just started calling back to me. You know, I was just like, had my daughter in 2014. Got my certification in 2015 with Ironman, kind of thinking if I could train myself, if I can understand everything, then maybe I cannot be injured. That's kind of where my mentality was going at that time. I was really looking forward to Boulder. I could tell you I was running the fastest I have run in my adult life at that time. I was running like an 8:45 consistently for like 13 miles. I was just like, and the run is the worst part for me. Like I'm from California, so I'm a surfer. So my swim is usually my strongest.
Right.
So yeah. And then all of this hit me. It's just one of those things that I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to quit. You know, I want to race. I want to be a triathlon. I want to to go to Ironman and do good. And surprisingly enough, when I came back from my cancer diagnosis, I found TriDot. I found Kurt Madden. He became my coach. When I raced in 2020 in Maryland, that was my first 70.3, coming back from my cancer, coming back from COVID, right? So it was a good 5 years off. I actually PR'd in that race, taking a 313 bike split, like not even trying because I knew I had to run. And it was one of the best races of my life. I just kind of feel like I just had to wait.
Yeah.
Yep. So that Eagle Man in 2020 was your first race back since your cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
And that was a sweet finish line, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Talk about the emotions just going through you there. Did everything just kind of come all in at one time? Like as you, I know I get emotional with every finish line, but I can only think it was amplified for you.
Yeah. Going into that, I had reached out to USAT because they were doing grants at the time for like different reasons, right? From COVID. And I had formed She Strong. I'd formed that group. And so I had written in and I got a grant to form a She Strong team.
Cool.
So that's probably the only reason why I reached out to Kurt. Like, I remember looking for a different platform. I knew the way that I had been training was not right for my body. I knew I could not do two disciplines a day for 7 days a week. My body was just not going to handle that coming back from cancer. So I reached out on an Ironman certified coach's site and said, hey, what platforms are you using? Kurt reached out and said, why don't you try TriDot? And for the first time ever in my head, I was just like, would you consider coaching me? And he was like, let's have a conversation. And so we did. One, because I felt so much pressure now. Now I had 10 women. I got 10 women who are going to race with me in Maryland. And I was like, I'm not racing by myself now. Now I'm racing with a team. And so I can't go out here and just totally flub. And I was so scared about what my body was going to handle training wise coming back. So yeah, me and these 10 ladies, we met for the first time a couple of days prior to the race. We all had our kits and we all shared our stories face to face. And, you know, we got a hug and just have all these emotions. And so, yeah, crossing that finish line was just, it was just so empowering to me and to them and all of us to be there together. It was awesome.
Were all 10 women cancer survivors as well?
Yep. Wow. They were all cancer survivors, except for our swimmer. We had a relay team. And our swimmer bowed out. So my best friend who introduced me to Ironmans, she took that position. And so she got to race with me too. So yeah it was a big cry fest.
Oh yeah, for good reason.
The She Strong Foundation, you said over 4,000 members nationally are on the Facebook page. And now do you do local events in the Arizona area, or talk about a little bit about what other functions you guys do?
So last year was the first year that I decided to host a triathlon. It's called the Monarch. It is a USAT sanctioned event, and it was held here in Kingman, Arizona, in conjunction with Bullhead City, which is like 45 miles away from us. They have a river. And so I actually graduated high school in Bullhead City. And so I wanted to merge the two cities together anyway, just because they're both my homes. Kingman is where all of my children have been born. And so, yeah, I hosted a USAT sanctioned event that started in the river in Bullhead, and then women cycled from Bullhead to Kingman. It's the first time ever that anybody's ever ridden bicycles through Bullhead, through Union Pass. It's a historical marker here. It's back in the day, it was the only like way to get from Kingman to Bullhead. Technically, right now, it's still the same way. But what is great about it is Union Pass itself was ran by a family. They were the Richardsons, a married couple and three daughters. They were paid every month to keep that roadway open. And so you had a woman, her three daughters, and her husband keeping this pass open so that wagons and stuff could get through it. In 1935, that wife passed away from cancer. But you could still see their house from the top of Union Pass off to the right-hand side. So there's just so many things that went into that race. They finish on historical Route 66. And it was one of the most impactful times of my life. It was hosted on October 22nd, which is my birthday. And so it was amazing. We had before videos of women who got to tell their story as to who they were racing for or why they were racing, whether it was themselves or if they were racing for a loved one who passed from cancer. But yeah, just I got to be so involved in it because I'm the race director. I got to design the medals. Just, oh, everything about it was just amazing. And then a portion of registration is being used to create scholarships for young girls whose primary caregiver has gone through cancer.
That's pretty cool. So as a coach, do you find that your athletes, are most of them cancer survivors? Is that a niche for you? Or who is your coaching clientele?
For me, I love first-time female athletes. So back when I got into the sport, like I said, I was married at the time. I'm divorced now, but my ex and I own a business together. We still own it together and we have four kids. So I went through this very hard time of trying to learn to juggle my children, my marriage, and my business. I wasn't really given a lot of support in terms of like, hey, yeah, go and train and, you know, and I'll take care of the kids or whatnot. So I always wanted to give back to women who were trying to find that balance because it can be very, very demanding and very hard. I think as women, and maybe Jillian can understand this too, is that we put a lot of stuff on our shoulders. Maybe it's not even the way it's supposed to be, but we just take it on anyway. And so as a woman, I wanted to help other women overcome that. Like, yes, you can be a priority to you. You could race, you can achieve your dreams and your goals and learn how to juggle all of that. So it's not just primarily cancer women. Yes, I do have a few of those, but for me, it's just women in general. We need so much more women in this sport. It's still a man-dominated sport. And sorry, guys, but women can be just as strong and as tough as you guys can be.
No doubt.
100% agree. Of my coaching athletes that I have, I will tell you right now, sorry, fellas, the women are the ones that don't complain. The guys are the ones that day in, day out, well, coach, I couldn't do this or this and this. The ladies are the ones that are like, got it done or I found a way. And, you know, it's, yeah.
I can only do triathlon because of a super strong woman. So that's for sure.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's amazing.
No, I mean, seriously, that was very deep and emotional and super, super courageous of you to share that whole story with us. It had me tearing up, to be honest.
Brandi, are you actively training right now too? Right, I know you talked about wanting to qualify for world champs. Are you focusing on 70.3? Are you focusing on full distance? And what's your lineup for this year look like?
So I was supposed to race three races this year. I was supposed to go back to Eagle Man just because I love it. It's amazing. I was supposed to hit Oregon, but both of those have been taken off my calendar. I'm going to go to Ireland in July for 10 days. Hi. It's going to be my first like international like trip. Just me and like three of my female friends are going. Awesome. So yeah, sorry, but I made that a priority. I will be racing in Maryland in September. I'm hitting that full for the first time.
Nice.
Maryland's all the way across the country. What is the draw? I'm a Marylander. Eagle Man is one of my, Matt's a Marylander.
Done Maryland twice.
How did you find Eagle Man? And I'd love to know that story a little bit.
Yeah. So oddly enough, my team, when I created She Strong, we were supposed to race a different race, but okay. You know, COVID was closing down things like left and right. Maryland was just something that we decided on as a group. And so I went to Maryland, I raced it. I love it. Honestly, it's just such an amazing race. I do know that in September, like I have to face the jellyfish that you know, everybody complain about, but I think that's probably just, you have to be smart about your races. Right. So for me, Maryland was an easy race when it came to the bike, which obviously is the longest portion of your Ironman. So I'm hoping to be as strong on that bike portion again, to have some strong legs to hopefully qualify.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does the town of Cambridge have anything to do with it? Are you a small town person? Do you like that feel? Is that what speaks to you as well?
Yeah. So here in Kingman, we only have 30,000 people. Okay. I was born and raised in Southern California. So I've done the big city living. But I love it here. This is where I raised all of my children. You know, we had different talks when the kids were growing up about moving other places. And for me, no, I love the small town feel. I love knowing everybody. Maryland has just the perfect houses. Like that is my style of housing. Yeah. Like if I could pick that house up and put it in Arizona, I'd be very happy. But the house that I rent is literally 10 feet away from transition. The feel, everybody's so welcoming. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing that gets me is that bridge. You have to drive I'm not a bridge person, and it's a lot of fear. So that bridge gets me every time.
6 mile bridge, yeah, the Bay Bridge. Well, I think it's important. I don't know if people have the ability to look at a map to know where Kingman is, but it's near the Las Vegas, Arizona border. The Bullhead City's right on the river dividing the two. Is that the Colorado River?
Yes, it's Colorado River.
Yeah, and for sure, that's up there. So northwest of Phoenix by several hours, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, it's about 3.5-4 hours. So if you've ever driven from Phoenix to California, you passed my town.
Okay, that's how you, all right. Got it. Very cool.
Well, Brandy, I'll be in Africa when you're in Ireland. So I too, sadly, am missing Oregon 70.3, but you should put it on the list to do for next year. I'll join you there. Or if you're looking for another one in the Pacific Northwest, right, you can always come out to Maple Valley out here in late September. That's a good 70.3. So, although you do have to run over bridges.
The running over a bridge is not bad. Okay. The driving.
Okay, good.
you can run over the Bay Bridge in Maryland too, just in case you want to tackle that fear.
So that's another beautiful outdoorsy course as well. So
this year we're hosting the Monarch on September 30th.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's gonna have me pretty busy that whole month.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to dive into your foray in race directing. You have zero experience race directing and you just came up with this?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I have a lot of ladies here. So I'm also part of Seroptimist, which is another 501c3 here in Kingman. Seroptimist is a Latin term and it means best for women and girls. So our primary function is to help women and girls get a higher education so that they can, you know, pay for themselves and not have to be codependent, sorry, on men. But that's what the whole thing is about. We raise about $40,000 here a year, and we give that out to women who are head of household, high school seniors that are graduating, going off to college. So we do a lot of that. So I'm very blessed that I have a big support in my Seroptimist women. When I wanted to do this venture, one of my best friends who introduced me to the sport, she was like, yeah, I'm on board. Like, whatever you want me to do, I'll help you. So she helped design the race course with me. She helped race morning and the swim. And then all of my other Seroptimist ladies, they were like, we have no idea what a triathlon is, but we are here for you. And so that basically happened. I became race director certified by USAT. And yeah, I just kind of went for it. You know,
okay.
Sky is not the limit, right?
Yeah, for real.
Exactly.
For real. What was the length of the triathlon? I might have missed that. What length did you do?
You probably didn't miss it. So I'm all about first. So I created my own course distance. It's the first ever super half, right? So I'm not sure about you guys when you're coaching, but my women, if they're Olympic distancers, they usually don't want to make that big jump to a 70.3, right? They want to stay in that Olympic. Oh, it's nice. It's easy. The bigger distance of a 70.3 really can terrify some people. So because the Monarch is an all-female course, I decided to create something to encourage them to go for it, to be a little braver. So the swim is a 1 mile downstream river swim, right? So you're going to PR in that river. You could put on your wetsuit and it's just going to carry you to the exit. The bike is a 47-mile bike ride, and then it is a 7-mile run.
Yeah.
So basically, it's the bike portion that's larger. It's a total of 56 miles completed.
Yeah.
And so technically, it's the first ever super half distance.
I love that.
That's pretty neat.
We're able to get town support by the idea of connecting these two towns from an historic traveling path. What was it like making those permits? I've got a secret infatuation with the idea of race directing. So I'd like to learn a little bit through you. You did it from scratch. So what was that like, breaking barriers with the towns as well?
So it wasn't really all that hard, just because everybody was willing to help. So I could say that I had a lot of help from everywhere. My whole life kind of came full circle, honestly, with that race. So I was the risk manager for the city of Bullhead before I got married and had kids. The gentleman who is now the city manager was my boss back then. So him and I already knew each other going into it. The captain of the police department, Jason Harms, used to date my best friend back in the day. Yeah. Like, I'm not joking. Everything just kind of came full circle.
Small town benefit.
Super, super. Yeah, it definitely is a small town benefit. The city of Bullhead stepped up so amazingly race morning. They closed off the roads. Yes, you have to do a traffic control plan, wasn't 100% thrilled with the people who I paid to do that. In their lack of doing what they were supposed to do, every single municipality, every police department, we're talking, we had Bullhead PD, Highway Patrol, KPD, Golden Valley, Sheriff's Department. I mean, you name it. We had so many different law enforcements intertwined. They all stepped right up. Like the lady who won, and not just her, but she was literally, is it called chauffeured? What is it when you have somebody right there? Like Sheriff's Department and then KPD, as they passed different municipalities, whoever was in charge, that person was like right next to her in the lane in their police unit, like bringing her in. She had her own escort. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. And so all of them did it. And it was just amazing. We had meetings every single month. I would drive down to Bullhead. I'd have meetings with them. We'd have meetings here. So we had every fire department. I mean, just everybody across the board was involved. And they were so willing to do it. We had women who came all the way from Canada to race. They came from Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York. So yeah, being a small town, and it is kind of like Cambridge, you know, when you have these people come, like you want to welcome them, you want them to come back. Like it helps our environment, our economics, everything. And so everybody was just so willing to help.
That's awesome. Is there a website for your race coming up on the 30th of September?
Yes, monarchtriathlon.com.
Awesome.
And if people were interested in learning about the She Strong Foundation, where can they find information on that, Brandy?
That has its own webpage as well. It's shestronginc.com.
And I'm going to throw one more out there. If there are first-time women, you know, that might be looking for a coach, how can they find you?
The best way to probably find me, you can either do it on TriDot, which is where I coach from, or you could send me a personal email to shestrong@yahoo.com.
Yeah.
It's all about SheStrong. Just type in SheStrong anywhere. You're not going to miss it.
Awesome. We'll also put it all in the notes.
Yeah. I mean, this whole story is just amazing. Just from everything you've done in your life to empower ladies, to empower women into sport, from your own personal journey of conquering cancer, kicking it in the ass, and take the bull by the horns, as you said. It's just so inspiring and very motivating. And I think it's encouraging for a lot of people out there. And to hear how optimistic you were and how just proactive and just matter of fact of, hey, we're going to kick this thing in the ass and it's not going to take me down. I mean, that attitude right there, it just permeates through with your whole personality and everything you're talking about. Yeah. So strong. Yeah. So strong is all I got to say.
Yep.
Awesome.
Thank you. I actually have a wonderful lady who is in my She Strong group. She's been in there since almost day one. And her first name is Mary. She's in her 60s and she would read the post, kind of like what other people were talking about. And not too long ago, she decided she was going to start riding her bicycle. And she had put in there, like, I have never exercised my whole life, but you ladies are inspiring me to get up and to do something. She just did a bicycle race a few weeks ago and she took first in her age group.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Awesome.
Yeah. And she's like in her late 60s. She's like, I never would have thought I would do something like this. I'm like, it is never too late. You know, just be mobile, get up and move and do something. Find inspiration. You're stronger than you think you are.
Yeah.
What message do you have out there for any ladies that have gone through what you've gone through, that are going through what you're going through, or don't know that they're going to be going through this at this point? What message do you have for all of them right now?
Well, your initial diagnosis is terrifying. Nobody wants to hear that word. But my motto in life, my motto for She Strong is never quit. Simple, strong, never quit. Like you have no idea how strong you are, what your body can tolerate, what you can go through. You are not your diagnosis, and you do not have to remain who you are after you're done with your treatment. So never quit. Keep following your dreams. Keep pushing forward.
I love it. No JFQs.
That's awesome.
Definitely gave me chills tonight, Brandy.
Yeah. So,
wow. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much.
I think this is a positive story here, but I do think we need to wrap things up. Brandy, I can't thank you enough again just for sharing your journey, your story, everything that you're doing to help bring, you know, battling cancer to light, and just everything that you're doing to help empower women in the sport and cancer survivors in general. So thank you. And, you know, I think everybody definitely go check out the She Strong website. Check out the Monarch Triathlon website. If you're in the area, go participate, give back, support this cause. But Jay, do you want to wrap it up, bring us home?
Sure. I certainly echo what Matt said and the sentiments. Brandi is awesome, and the energy you're showing is really awesome. So thank you again. All right. So we'll wrap it up. If you want to reach out to us, you can reach us at the Triathlon Age Group Journey at gmail.com and on Instagram at Triathlon Age Group Journey. We are working our way through May, folks, so be patient with us. We may not hit Wednesdays as often as we like. We're trying hard. It's just doing a lot of juggling, but we'll get this thing edited and up as fast as we can. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, the wives that are holding down the forts in many ways, especially my own, and super happy Mother's Day to my wife. I unfortunately will be missing Mother's Day as I'm going to my nephew's wedding in California. So something we've had to work through as a family dynamic, but looking forward to catching up with family out there as well. So I hope you guys all also have Jillian, an awesome Mother's Day, and same to you, Brandi.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day, all those amazing moms out there, mine included. She's probably not listening, but thanks, Mom. You created a monster.
Thanks, guys.